This is Design Huddle, the podcast for creative entrepreneurs and professionals looking to level up in their design career. Each week, myself, Brandon Gross, a designer and digital strategist, and Ryan Warner, a UX designer, step inside the minds of the most creative people on the planet. This podcast touches a variety of disciplines ranging from design, digital strategy, user experience, and social media. Our goal here is to educate by striking a balance between practical and creative advice. So if you like storytelling, funny commentary, and learning how to level up in your design career and get hired, subscribe to Design Huddle and join the fam. Thanks for listening. Now let's huddle. All right, guys. Today we have an absolute amazing guest here on Design Huddle. It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to do this for a year, just back and forth DMs on Instagram. So I'm super excited. She's an amazing UX and conversion rate optimization consultant based in Portugal, and she has clients all over the world. Now, let's name drop some of those all of the, over the world clients. She has had the pleasure of working with Google, Envato, Springboard, Muzli, Growth Mentor, and the European Innovation Academy. So without any further ado, please help me in welcoming Anna Santos to Design Huddle. How you doing, Anna?
Hello, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, before we continue, this is just me asking, did I butcher your last name? Because I can cut that out and read it.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's difficult, so I understand.
No, how do you say it? We can get this right.
Right, so Anna Santos.
All right, everybody, that's right there. I don't think my tongue can do such things. But it's a pleasure. Thank you for being on with us.
No worries at all.
All right, guys, before we popped on, I was telling Anna I was absolutely drooling at her website. You guys, even before, first of all, pause. You're not listening to us anymore. And check out Anna's website right now as you're listening. It is, because I have so many things open. But the link is in the description. Just click there. Go to it. It's absolutely amazing and is a great example of how simple and clear your website should be. So anyway, just wanted to drop that as we're getting into things here. But Anna, I want to jump into a little bit how you started your journey, just for context and background. Just start us off there.
Sure. So I have started my journey many years ago, and I started, as many of us, as a graphic designer, like visual design. And I always felt I was pretty creative. So yeah. I always thought I was more of like artistic, type of person. However, through the years, and I've worked many years, even in freelancing during the beginning, after I finished my degree in design, but through the years, I actually started being more passionate about the digital side. And that was when I started to build websites, design websites. That's kind of all it started for me. I mean, if you really go back, actually, when I was a teenager, I had a blog and I loved designing the layouts and stuff. But more like into my career, I actually really enjoyed understanding the experience that people had on the website. And that's kind of how it started for me. So when I started to be more focused on the websites, and then, of course, nowadays, the apps, then that's when user experience started making more sense to me.
Definitely. I get you. So tell us a little bit your segue into being a consultant, because I know you've worked at your ex-Googler, and then you were like, fuck it, I'm a G now, or I've been a G. We're going to rock this on our own. So tell us a little bit how you swung into, and I know we're totally going off script because I have so many specific questions I have for you, so just bear with me on that. I tend to blow in the breeze. Tell us about how your segue into being a consultant.
That's amazing. And actually, it was, I think, as well, thanks to Google. Just to give you a bit of context as well. So I was in the UK for many years before. Yeah. And then I actually moved back to Portugal a few years ago. And that's when I kind of decided I was going to be a freelancer. But I was a freelancer. I was doing a bit of everything, a bit like a generalist, like UX, UI designer. I was doing mostly design, you know, like typical freelance work. And then I actually got this opportunity, and this was going to be a temporary project, a contract role for Google in Portugal. Now, what was really impressive for me was the fact it was in Portugal, even though I had to move because it was in a different city. But, you know, during that time, I thought, you know, I'm not going to have any full-time job. I'm pretty happy being a freelancer. But then when it's Google, then, you know, it's different. Like, you need to give it a try, right? So, okay, let's try. I didn't really have many expectations in the beginning because it was someone who was actually already working for Google who told me about that role. And in the beginning, I was, you know, really relaxed about it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to apply and, you know, I'm going to see, you know, maybe I'm going to be the right fit or not. And the role was really different from what I used to do because usually what I was doing, it was actually UX design, but that role that is called mobile UX specialist, which is, you know, a really interesting name. And
that is quite the title there.
Right. Everyone asks me like, what is that? But when I asked about the role, they were telling me, well, this is a bit different from what you're doing because you are actually doing design. But now you will be doing more consulting because you are going to be consulting with other companies. And these companies are going to be based in Portugal. So they are, as you probably know, like Google is very big on the mobile web experience, apps as well, but also on the web. And it's a global initiative. So I was focused on that initiative, but in Portugal. That's why my title was Mobile UX Lead, because it was that initiative in Portugal. And we did lots of interesting stuff. And that's when I started to, okay, I really love doing this thing, like consulting and going to companies and teach them and leading workshops. That's pretty fun. I could imagine myself doing that. Like, you know, when I get back to the, to being like working on my own, that was something I really wanted to do, even though I did have the chance to continue for Google, which is pretty amazing because I had, I mean, I kind of had it in my mind that, okay, temporary project, that's it. I get back to my own full-time, my own freelancing because I love doing that. I love the flexibility. But then when I had the chance to continue, it was really hard for me because I loved working for Google.
Yeah.
But here I am. So I don't regret anything.
I'm glad. So how did you pull yourself from such an amazing opportunity? Like, what was going through your head? And what made you be like, no, we're going back to our own thing? What was that?
That's good, a very, very good question. And many people ask me that as well. So during that time, even I had the chance to meet other people that worked for Google all around the world, which was really interesting. And even some people were telling me, like, you could get another role because if I wanted to not be on a contract basis, for example, like being there, like, you know, forever, maybe. So I could go to other, I visited lots of offices and I could go to a different country. And I thought in the beginning that was my issue because I was back to Portugal and I wanted to be in Portugal. But then at the same time, when they said, you know what, you can be here another year and maybe another year after. And then I realized I can't, you know, let Google make that decision for me. I need to make this decision. Like, do I want to stay here? And because in the end, it's still going to be a full-time role. And do I want to invest in continue my career here at Google? Or do I actually want, like, I got great experience here. Do I actually want to use that experience and actually do what I really want to do? That is my dream, having my own consulting business. So kind of gave it a try.
I love it. So it was more so which one is more fulfilling. I really liked how you said, I can't let Google make that decision for me, or really anybody make that decision. Those very important, what makes me feel fulfilled or have control over what I have in my life. So I really like that. Thank you for sharing that.
No worries at all.
So what are you working on right now that is super exciting for you? I can't tell you. I think this, did you recently, I'm going back to your website. Did you recently update this? I feel like I visited prior and I saw this and I was just like, oh, like I fell back in my seat. I was like, this is not what I remember. When did you get redone?
So that was actually a funny story. I kind of feel I'm always tweaking, but that's also part of my conversion rate optimization background.
Yeah,
because always, you know, trying to understand, you know, what is working, what is not working. Are people clicking here or are they not even reading this? So I'm always updating. And, you know, during last year, because it was my first official year working on my own, it was a year that I had many changes, trying to understand what I really want to focus on, because I have different types of audiences. Like I have, for example, students, which is a big part of my audience, but I also have businesses and I also have small businesses. So this year, and I'm still working on that, I'm still trying to focus on, okay, what is the main direction? So I still feel my website and even my Instagram is kind of like a playground. I'm still experimenting stuff. That's why you see many changes on the website, but that specifically homepage, it was more like the design change, because I had that illustration from actually a very talented artist. You need to check on Instagram. Have on the credits the link for her Instagram. But I really loved that illustration, and I thought, you know, that's really artistic, rather than just have, you know, a picture of me, you know, just something a bit different, and, you know, making here a bit changes on the design. So
yeah, it's very unique. So let's talk about your different audiences, because I think this is something that a lot of people who are using or trying to figure out who their audience is, usually I understand that there's like the student, there's the small business, and then there's the larger organizations. And specifically for you, how are you talking to each different audience, or trying to talk to each different audience? And you're still in the works of figuring that out, but what is your thought process behind each?
So I feel like, for example, on Instagram, I feel that that audience in specific kind of came to me like organically, because I was not targeting them in the beginning. Like I was actually targeting, because my Instagram was born when I was doing work mostly for small businesses, and that was a long time ago. So it was not really focused on anything. So actually, when I started to create content that was more aligned with me, like content, things I really wanted to talk about. That's why I say Instagram is so organic in that sense. Like I was talking about UX, things I think are really important to take in consideration. I started attracting that audience. And I also need to say that I also do this teaching with students, because I do have some partnerships with bootcamps, like for example, Springboard. I work for Springboard as well. So having that experience and really enjoying that process of teaching also make me feel like, yeah, I can do that with my Instagram. And then that was kind of organic, really. Like it started attracting, you know, that type of audience. And I was thinking, you know, I need, you know, to listen to this audience. Like they want to know more. I mean, why am I ignoring them, right? So that's why.
I love it. Which do you like to work with more? And which is, let me get this question right. I am assuming that the larger organizations bring in more money, but I could be totally wrong. And let me know what the real answer is to that, but also which side do you like to work with more? The
very
students or the larger organizations? And you can tell me to shut up if you're like, my clients listen to this. This is when I only came on here so I could get. You can take the question how you want.
So, I mean, it's different, right? I mean, even working for like smaller businesses is different than working for larger organizations, right? I do enjoy a lot working with students. So, and the reason I do like to do that is because I feel like when you are teaching someone, you are still reaching to the companies, like the companies that you know, those people work for. For example, I feel there are many things we still need to change in terms of UX. And when I do that with one company, that's one company I'm helping. But if I'm doing that with people that are going to be the next generation of designers, I feel that I'm creating this sort of bigger impact. Like, you know, these people, I'm teaching them what I believe in, my principles, and that's amazing. And they can make a change. And they're all over the world, which is, you know, even more amazing. So that's why I really enjoy working with students. Yeah.
That's absolutely excellent. That's also something I'm trying to make a, not more of a switch, but like doing larger, like doing the actual like website stuff, like the building, the strategy. I get tired from doing that. And I'm just like, people are so much more exciting. But anyway, we're not here to talk about me, but I don't know. That's just my two cents. I feel like the one-on-one mentorship, you feel like you're making more of an impact. I don't know. Is it the same thing for you? Do you feel like one side is more, do you feel more fulfilled by it? Or is it, you know, it's different on both ends of the spectrum and you enjoy both just as much?
Yeah, I mean, I feel it's different because I also, for example, I'm starting as well to get more selective with the type of projects I accept. Like when I first started, I felt I was accepting every kind of project. So now I also want to work, and especially one of my goals for 2020, for example, is working more with social impact driven businesses. So that's the type of business I want to work for example. And if I am able to be aligned with that business, for example, sometimes I get some, for example, some requests, let's say, from businesses that are really, really focused on the conversion goals, which is important, of course. I mean, you are in business, but also you need to have that alignment, like that alignment that, you know, I'm doing UX, I'm doing user experience. So for me, if I'm able to do that, if I'm able to add value to the project, I feel, you know, I feel fulfilled.
Got you. All right. So let's talk about how you're getting your clients, because also, obviously, we talked about, like, you know, what you're super excited about and who you like to work with. But how do you get, I know a lot of people are going to ask or do ask, how are you getting your clients, whether it's your students, your large organization? Is it through referral, word of mouth, or are you blasting DMs in LinkedIn? what is your funnel like?
Okay, so I am not super strategic when it comes to DMs. I mean, I think I should and I could. That's a plan as well. At the moment, I do have to say that it's mostly referrals and mostly people who know or heard about me and then they tell someone, or, you know, it's pretty much like that at the moment. For students, I do get from Instagram sometimes. For example, my funnel now in Instagram, I mean, my call to action, because I don't really have that, you know, strategic funnel yet, but my my call to action on Instagram is pretty much getting my students to know some of my favorite links. Like, I call it curated curriculum, mm-hmm. because I have like some links and they can sign up, and so some students sign up and then I have like some information about me there. It's never too pushy, you know, because I do have like some free sessions as well. And you could say that's part of the funnel, which, you know, it's important because you need to connect with people. You need to get to know them. They need to have a sense of who you are. But at the same time, I really think that that decision needs to come from whoever, especially if it's a student. Like, it's more on a B2C, like, you know, it's very, they need to be really committed to that. Like, it's really important. So yeah, so I like, if you look at the funnel at the moment, like for a student, they would probably get to know my like course, not really a course, like my curriculum, then they would sign up for a free session, and then from there we could have like a one-on-one mentorship or a coaching program or even a session. Like, I do have sessions as well. Smaller businesses usually enjoy that because they can just book a session and, you know, they don't really need to do anything else. Of course, like, I encourage them to actually go through a program with me, because just one, you know, one session usually is not enough. But that's pretty much how it works. But that's for small businesses and students. Like, for larger organizations, I really, as far as I know, it's only referrals. I'm not really strategic enough yet to actually get.
It's okay. Your name is good. You're just like, yes, all the people send other big names to me. I love it. Keep it coming.
Oh, and another tip actually I have, which is great for revenue, but it's not great for portfolio. It's working with other agencies. Like, it's really, it can be a good partnership, even though, you know, there's all that thing about NDA and not being able to showcase your work, but it's also a good way to get some nice projects going.
Interesting. So you mean just for income as a consultant?
Consultant, designer, consulting is even better, because usually those agencies, they already have their designers. Own designers. Exactly.
Interesting. Can you explain to us a little, because I have no idea what that actually looks like or how you would outreach to, like, what do you say to an agency? Can you run me and the audience through, like, how you started outreaching to other agencies to, you know, sell your consulting services? Like, how did that work and what did you learn through that process of what to do and what not to do?
So for agencies, and actually the last agencies that reached to me, it was because something I posted. So it's that thing that even if you don't have that, let's say, strategy, that you post something and then you go talk to someone and then you go book a call, even if you don't get that strategy behind, but if you are visible, like if you're posting content and people have something interesting to say, they could even reach to you and say, oh, and I really thought this was interesting. I'm actually going through a client and I have, for example, this issue. So if you are the one actually starting the conversation, which, you know, you can do it as well. Like, you need to find that common, like that common topic. Like, what can you help with, right? Usually it doesn't start as a sales conversation, really. Like, it starts more like you're coming from a place that you want to help. You want to
help,
to your opinion. And also you want to raise awareness. It's something I'm always doing. Like, yes, you do need to take into consideration the user experience or the research or the strategy.
Yeah.
And this works with some agencies and some startups. Some others, it doesn't really work. You know, some are just going to say, oh, that's fine, but I don't need that. You know, I'm just fine, you know, doing everything. But yeah, but some of them is actually going to work really well and they can use you when they're working with their clients and, you know, on a white label basis. Like, you can consult them, you can guide them, especially if they don't have UX resources or people who actually are senior in terms of UX designers. Because as you know, nowadays you get, you know, more companies and startups hiring junior designers, but then you don't have that knowledge.
The senior.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
That's very interesting. Like, it, now that it's always like hindsight, it's always, what is it, 2020? I don't know, whatever the perfect hindsight is. But after you say this, I'm like, oh shit, that makes a lot of sense. Like, instead of like having to, you know, eat what you kill, partnering with other people who already have clientele and income and just being like, yo, here's my skill set. This is what I can provide to you as a consultant. I'm just very interested about, like, I know it's probably, there's not like anything salesy. It's probably just, hey, I saw that you, or whether it's on LinkedIn, you see they have a shitload of junior designers and they have no seniors. And it's just like, hey, I noticed that, you know, your roster of hires is junior. This is my skill set. And I absolutely love what you're doing at X, Y, and Z agency. Here's what I offer. And if we work together, cool. If not, all right. But if you, you know, just, you know, approach the conversation like that, and wanting to add value, not just throwing your, what is it, your website link into their DMs, but giving specific examples of how you could help is also what I am thinking. What you do is usually just a regular conversation, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like a real conversation. And you will see that the more you talk about what you do and what you can do for others, the more people are going to be the ones actually reaching to you and wanting to know more, because, you know, it's visibility. It's a lot about visibility. Like, even, you know, even before I started doing this on my own, even, you know, getting that opportunity to work on that project for Google, it was, I mean, I was there. I mean, I was discoverable on LinkedIn. Otherwise, you know, how would they even, you know, tell me, oh, you know what, we are looking for someone to do this. So, you know, sometimes we need to consider that. I mean, there are lots of talented people, but if you're not visible and if people don't know what you do, then you're missing out.
Interesting. So is your strategy right now purely to be visible on LinkedIn? And if I know you're like, Brandon, I'm over here on this screen, but I'm looking at your LinkedIn. on this other screen because we're about to discuss it. I'm not, no disrespect. I'm just looking at what you have out on here. So how exactly, what does a day look like for you? This is a loaded ass question. Brandon, one question at a time. All right. First question. Visibility. Where are you doing that? Is it on, where are you most focused and why?
I am mostly focused on Instagram at the moment, but if you are going to ask me, do businesses actually reach out to me on Instagram? Not that much, no. Instagram is mostly for students, yeah.
Yes. Everybody listening to that, please understand that, because people keep asking me how to get clients, and maybe it's part of my copywriting issues, but you know, the type of clients, quote unquote clients, that you get on Instagram is more so of the student type.
Yes, yes. And if you are B2C, I mean, even if you're not a designer and you have other type of business that is more on a B2C, you know, basis, it might work. But B2B, I didn't find it was very, let's say, useful for that. LinkedIn is much better because I am not even as active on LinkedIn, but people can easily find you and even your posts like from a long time ago, which I find is quite interesting. And, you know, I'm not sure when it started, but I actually wrote a post. And when I wrote that post on LinkedIn, because it was really popular, I started getting lots of friend requests. And then when people start sending you friend requests, you actually get, again, more visible, because on LinkedIn, every time someone likes, every time someone comments, actually shows on the feed. So it's really easy to get connections going. Yeah, it is amazing. And I think for B2B, LinkedIn is really the best, because even though I don't usually, you know, like actually start a conversation, I have to be honest, I do reply. Yeah. And replying is equally important because you are creating that connection as well and that relationship. So, you know, that's important as well. And I'm also on Facebook, but on Facebook, I'm more active on groups. And to be honest, I started on Facebook. I mean, I started being more active on Facebook because, as I told you, I think it's really interesting sometimes to work with startups or really smaller businesses. And you see that a lot on Facebook. And I kind of had to adapt as well my approach, because it's not the same if you're working with a large organization, with resources, with other designers. If you are working with someone just starting out, I mean, they might not have the people or the resources, but they will still benefit from having someone guiding them and telling them, okay, this is the user-centered way. This is how you should start. So that's pretty much that.
Got you. I absolutely love that. So, because, and again, I'm transitioning. I have, guys, this is why I am selfishly very excited about this podcast, because I'm trying to learn some shit myself. no, but... I think LinkedIn is very interesting because, like, whenever I barely go on there, but I think if you really have a question, have you like search optimized your LinkedIn profile? I know you did. You probably had to.
If I had searched.
Because some people, like, I know have like search optimized their LinkedIn profile so that if any.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, in the beginning, yes. I mean, not recently, but yes, like, because, for example, there are some things there. And also because I do give advice as well to my students on how to be more visible. So I had to actually learn a bit about LinkedIn as well. But one thing, for example, it's really important to make it very clear what you do right away. And even using some keywords. What I see lately is that everyone is using... like the value proposition right away, which is good. Like, I help, you know, my target audience do that. But at the same time, I also think it's important to get those keywords, because if everyone on LinkedIn is saying, I help businesses, you know, do that, it's like, it's really difficult to stand out. And even, you know, automatically, that's why I kind of started with, you know, UX CRO or UX consultant. And, you know, I have an explanation of what I do, but that's the first thing, that this is what I do. Like, very clear, straightforward.
Got you. Yeah, I'm really in love with what you do, because I mean, like, you have helped amazing companies. You're basically what I kind of want to move into without the, you know, the business side of things. I just want to be I want to be an entertainer. Anyway, no, I think this is very interesting. So let's go back to your courses, because we mentioned them a little bit, but I want you to tell, like, those who are listening here, like, what exactly you could help them with and how, because in guys, the reason I keep bringing it back is because she has an immense amount. I went through her site again before we got on the call. She has a free, you have a free UX course. You have a whole bunch of other, is that?
Is that curated? Yeah, it's like a curated, yeah, like it's like a guide, let's say. Like I don't have like my own content there, but I have like a guide. Like it's a free curated guide, let's say. But it's free.
Yeah, it's free, and it has, I'm just scrolling through this now. This is like an all-in-one area in which she's spent time bringing books, links, resources in one place to get you started on your UX journey.
Yeah.
And this is absolutely amazing. So, and it's free, guys. Just like I said, the .com is going to be in the bio or the description of this podcast. Check it out. Sign up. This is absolutely amazing. And I'm trying to get back to the homepage.
So that's <the issue.
laughs> I'm just like, God damn it. How do I that's go back?
User experience issue. I think it's because that UX curriculum, it's actually hosted on another platform.
There we go.
That's it. But that's an, that's an issue because I didn't want to create, you know, my courses. And that's for the future as well. Because at the moment, like the links to the courses are on my website because I didn't want to have everything on my website. And also because it was easier, you know, like to manage in a third party platform. So I'm actually using Podia for those who want to give it a try. It's like a course platform. So I'm starting to move all my courses there. So once that's done, it's going to be a separate thing. So, but yeah, it's a bit of an issue. Like you click somewhere and then you go to a different site. Where am I? So yeah.
No, it's good. I misplaced the other tab and I was like, where do I go? So, all right, let's start talking advice now. For somebody who is wanting to be on the same journey as you or, you know, be a consultant, be a mentor, and kind of run their own show, what advice would you give to them starting from, like, when you began? Like, what was going through your mind? What were the challenges that you had? How did you overcome them? The whole spiel. Like, what could help somebody do what you're doing today from, like, nothing?
It's like starting from complete scratch.
Yes.
One thing I think it really helped me was my experience, actually, like having the experience to work on different roles. Like if you work at least once for an agency and at least once for like an in-house designer and at least once in a role that involves consulting somehow, I think that's good because some people, they are starting now learning UX and they're asking me, how do I become a consultant? And it's not impossible, right? But I do think it's a bit more difficult because if you don't have experience trying to understand a bit how other companies work, and I really need to thank Google for that because if it was not for Google, I wouldn't be actually visiting so many different companies, like huge companies in Portugal, and be quite shocked that, you know, the UX maturity level, it doesn't, just because you're a big company doesn't mean you have a high
resources there.
Exactly. So for me that was really important, like actually, you know, understanding how things work and working with people from different parts of the world as well. Like it's different, like some things work differently here in Portugal and in the UK and also, you know, in the United States as well, even though United States I do it online, but you know, like these things are, for me, are important, like that experience. So if I was going to start everything all over again, I would still join like a team, a full-time role, whether that's an agency or in-house, but I would definitely start like that. It's not impossible starting a freelancer, starting as a consultant. I know plenty of talented people who did that, but personally for me, it was the easiest way.
Yeah, learning on somebody else's dollar, like without having to make those mistakes and shit all by yourself, because that would just send me into an anxiety array. No, but I think on a lot of the podcasts here, we've talked about like learning on somebody else's dime is invaluable because you get to learn and all that experience. You're getting paid to learn, and it's absolutely amazing.
Exactly. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about this. What is it like to have worked with Springboard and Growth Mentor? Like what is your experience in working with those? How do you feel about them?
So, so Growth Mentor is a platform and Springboard is a bootcamp. So I also work with the new Interaction Design Foundation Bootcamp, but that's all partnerships I have. Like not exactly partnerships. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not like an employer or anything, obviously. Like, yeah. I'm working for them. But like, for example, Springboard is really interesting. Also, I started to mentor a few students for the first time. It was thanks to Springboard. And it was, I was still working for Google. So I was taking like one or two students. But yeah. It was really interesting for me because I was doing workshops during that time and I was kind of teaching, but they were designers already. They were not aspiring UX designers. Those, yeah. you know, it's different. And I was thinking, wow, I'm going to teach people who maybe they don't know much about UX yet, even, you know, if they come from a similar background. So I started doing that and yeah, I completely loved it. And I think that was really important for me in that sense, like working for Springboard alongside that experience I had with Google. I think it really shaped, oh, this is what I want to do. Actually, you know, yeah. I don't want to just be here behind the screen and working on my projects and do design. I actually want to be out there, even though I'm an introvert.
But, in short spurts, go do your thing, then go to the house. Short spurts.
It was a shock to me, you know, even speaking like in some events, I was thinking, no way I can do this, but I loved it. So yeah. So it's very important for me, like both Springboard and working at Google. It was the first experience I had actually teaching. And yeah, it was pretty much amazing. And Growth Mentor is a platform. So it's actually, I would tell anyone to have a look. It's really interesting. Like, they are a platform that allows people with lots of experience from huge companies as well, both UX, CRO, and marketing. Like, they have many, many people from marketing there, like growth yeah. marketing. So it's really interesting. But like, I work like, you know, I'm on the platform. Like, I was accepted into the platform, and I work within that sense. Like, I don't work specifically for them, but yeah, as yeah. part of the platform.
That's amazing. So, all right, because we're moving towards our last moment here on Design Huddle, I want to ask, with all this mentoring and seeing different, you know, students pass through, you know, your curriculum, having to teach them, having one-on-ones with them, what do you see, whether it, the two stages, what do you see most aspiring designers have challenges with, and what is your solution for that? And the second question is, those who are already designers, getting them to that next stage, what are they facing, and what is the solution that you typically prescribe to them?
Right. So first one.
Again, another loaded question. Sorry. You're like, God damn it, Brandon. Let's just start with one.
Right. So the first one is aspiring UX designer or designers in general.
Aspiring.
Okay. And so they don't have any experience at all in terms of design, mm-hmm. nothing.
Yep.
Wow. So actually one of the pretty common questions from people who want to kind of get into UX or UI, UX, anything, it's like, how do I get started? Like, it's the question. So it's a very good yeah. question here. And I think, like, you do need some kind of foundation, because if you just start, let's say, browsing stuff on your own, and I am a bit picky, actually, when I suggest a mentorship, because, for example, if I know the students I am going to mentor, because it's not the same as partnering with Springboard, because Springboard has the course and has the whole support system. But yeah. if I am mentoring on my own and they are not doing any course, because most of the people I mentor and coach, they are doing other courses. Some of them are doing the master's in HCI, others are doing like Design Institute. So they are doing something, like they are doing a course. Yeah. But if someone comes to me and they say, I don't know anything, I want to start, you know, from scratch, like, what do I do? It's going to be more difficult, because they do need to start somewhere. So I would probably recommend getting like a short course or maybe a boot camp. Because, you know, it's something like to get started doing, you know, even if they read all the materials they have, like, there are many good sites that they can get information. But if you are a beginner and you don't know, then it's going to be difficult to filter yeah. all that information. Yes.
That is definitely true. Right there, you said being able to filter the correct information. That is the biggest challenge there, because there's so much information and you could be reading some good stuff, but you don't know if it's good. And you could be reading some shitty stuff and just be like, oh, that's great. Excellent. We're going to take that. Exactly. No, I think that's excellent. So, and then the next question was, I guess it can be like taking that person who already is in the design industry to that next level of expertise. What is your recommendation, or how do they get to, what things do they need to focus on to get there?
So that's much easier, because of course, like, they already have the experience. I think in that case, and that's also why I have been trying to incorporate different techniques. For example, in the beginning, it was just mentoring. I now feel I do much more than mentoring. I feel I do much more like coaching and even career coaching. What is the next step for them? Like, they need to understand, because it depends. Like, some people, for example, the next step for me for a while, I thought it was going to a manager role, for example, during that time. But then I understood that there were other options, like consulting or working on my own. So we need to understand, like, what does it mean, you know, the next step for them? Like, what do they want to do? And that's all about coaching, like understanding really like what is compatible with them, what makes them happy as well, if they are going to specialize, if they are still junior designers but they have some experience. Maybe it comes to a point that I actually want to specialize, I want to do just UI or just, you know, research. So that is possible as well, like really understanding that. There are some interesting assessments that I usually do with people, like to understand, like, yeah, like where they are at. Yeah.
Did you make the assessments? What is
no,
got a formula out here? You got people taking the, what is that shit called, the M, I don't know. Do you know
the personality test?
Yeah, you got people taking out design personality tests out here.
Sometimes I do. Yeah, and there's a really interesting one, a career driver's assessment. That one was really interesting. I mean, I need to adapt, you know, because I can't just say, oh, I'm just going to be mentoring, but I need to really make sure that what I'm offering is the right thing for my students. And that's why I keep myself, you know, educating myself as well. For example, now I'm not doing any UX course at this point, but I'm still reading, of course, about UX, keeping updated. Yeah. But basically, I'm investing in other areas I think I'm not as good at. So I'm doing a postgraduate in, which is something really weird, I think, for some people, but it's neuropsychology. And it's
I remember we were talking about this. Yes.
Yeah.
Keep going. I like that.
And it's with a focus on education for adults, because that is important. Like, how people learn, like, what can you do for them to learn better? I think it's my responsibility to know that, not just, you know, show up in a call and just say, okay, this was my experience, because that's what mentoring is about, is telling your experience. But your experience, your path doesn't mean it's the same for everyone. So you really need those skills. So I think those are skills that I want to even get better at, so I'm better at coaching and mentoring as well.
All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Design Huddle. We all just need to go be neuropsychologists now. prepare your post-grad degree. No. I was just playing. That's amazing. This is why I'm so excited to have you on, because you have touched not only, you know, agency work, you've worked at very large organizations, you've consulted, you are a mentor, you're an educator. So you have such a large grasp of what is out there and knowledge. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Right. Thank you so much for having me here.
Anytime. This is not going to be the last time. There's so many more questions we have. So in closing, do you have any last, it could be like, guys, do your laundry, like make your bed. What is some last final closing words you have for our audience today?
So always advocate for what you believe, no matter where you work. So if you are passionate about improving the experience for your users, make sure that you talk about it in your organization, like wherever you are. Like, it's our responsibility as UX designers to really teach others, I feel, like to make sure that businesses are educated and are doing the right things. So that's my main thing.
All right, you heard it from Anna herself. All right, guys, it's your boy. Ryan's not here. Actually, we're going to do a little quick update because we haven't really said this yet either. Ryan and I, you guys know Ryan has a kid, but this is not the reason why. Our schedules have parted. So we're going to be doing 2 episodes of Design Huddle per week. And they're going to be short, so you guys don't have to listen to 2-hour whatchamacallits per week. That's a lot. But you guys are going to be hearing both me and Ryan's voice weekly. And that's just a quick update we have because Ryan is available 8 through 9 and I am available in the mornings and your boy likes to sleep. So anyway, that concludes this episode of Design Huddle. Have a great day and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Design Huddle is a podcast that is hosted by Ryan Warner and Brendan Gross. The opinions stated here are our own and not those of our company. Thank you for tuning in, and please feel free to share this episode.